Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX, a few minutes past 4 p.m. Every Tuesday at 4, we do the Think Tank. Used to have lots of people in at the same time. Then COVID got us down to 2. We've kind of stuck with that. Works out pretty well. Kurt Barr is here and Ray Hartman is here. Congratulations on your recent win.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well deserved.
Well.
How do you pivot? What's your strategy now? And this is not an Ann Wagner attack.
No.
I don't know Ann, but there are friends to the DGS, you know, very good friends who've been on for years and years and years. We can't get Ann to come on the show. So it has been years, and it's always just a polite no thank you. So I don't have ill will. I just don't have a lot of will at all. So how do you go up against Ann?
Well, I'm the first person to run against her with a comparable name ID to her. So that's going to be a different thing politically. And, I'm running for Congress because I think we deserve better. I think we can do better with our government. You know, I was on Donnybrook for 37 years, and whatever you thought of the show, it was people disagreeing very sincerely, very loudly, talking over each other about issues. But there were no personal attacks, and at the end of the day, there was respect, and we were family. And I'm hoping to bring that sort of spirit, sort of tone to this. And it is true, Ann Wagner's been in office 12 years, has never debated an opponent, has never held a public town hall. If she doesn't want to debate me, and we're going to approach that differently at some point, but that doesn't disrespect me. It disrespects the voters, and I think people who serve in office owe their constituency that sort of availability. Yeah. And obviously, from a media background, I don't even have a comms director. The media has to come through. They can have my cell number and call me anytime if they want a response on I'm so glad that you're willing to have me on once a week now, because that's that's really good.
I'm careful of the equal time.
I'm just kidding.
You have Ann on once a week.
I make a little joke there. No, but that's how I feel.
So, Ray, how has your politics aged? And I'm thinking of Michael Kelly, who I just referenced, my son works for now. Michael used to be a communist. Now he's a rhino. John Hancock used to be a fascist. Now he's some sort of a sissy. Like, how has yours progressed as the goalposts have moved?
There's no questions moved to the center. I mean, there was a time where the Riverfront Times readers in the 80s voted me the most radical person, the best radical, I think, in our best of. And I mean, it was our readers, but I still, I definitely consider myself much more of a centrist than I would have been 20, 30 years ago. And I don't like to think, I don't feel like I've had all that much emotional growth particularly, but I think that the way our politics, again, I really, you know, I was Kit Bond's speechwriter. And I think Kit Bond was one of the great publics, goes down in history as one of the great public servants in our state's history. He's a Republican. So I'm not hyper-partisan. I certainly, when I say I'm pro-choice, it's not a particularly compromising view. I'm very strong in my opinions on many issues, but I do think, you know, my goal, if I get to Washington, is to be let into something called the Problem Solvers Caucus, mm-hmm. which most people haven't heard of. It's 32 Republicans, 32 Democrats who meet and try to do solutions rather than sound bites, and that's really who I am.
Yeah. Well, you need, as Kurt, as you now know, you need a strong backbone to be able to debate, to be able to cross swords in a gentlemanly way. It's easy to throw mud. It's easy to call people names. And I'm not just talking about Donald Trump. It's on both sides. It's easy to show up and protest things. It's difficult to have conversations.
It's difficult to have conversations. It's difficult to disagree without being disagreeable. It's also difficult for those who are elected to be able to handle the criticism of the public. Hey, I'm upset with that. I see too many times, and I was mentioning that, you know, the county council, that they were asking me to handle a particular situation because people went to the county council meeting upset with the elections. And the council's like, hey, we want you to do X because of a few people who were upset. Well, that's all well and good, but the thing they want me to do was not legal. And so I'm like, okay, well, I can either follow the law or I can do something that's not legal because a few people yelled at you and you don't like that pain of a few people being upset.
Yeah. Where, Ray, back to you and Ann. I mean, she's a Republican. You're a Democrat. Mm-hmm. I guess you'd probably still call yourself a progressive Democrat, even though you're talking like more centrist.
Yeah. I mean, I'd stay away from the labels, but I, you know, I think that Ann Wagner and I have issues that we very sharply disagree on. Certainly, the one that's going to be in the news the most is women's reproductive freedom. Mm-hmm. It's on the ballot, the constitutional amendment, which is going to, I think, drive turnout. I guess speculate on both sides. But in traditionally, if you look at Kansas, you look at Ohio, we're red states, mm-hmm. where women and men know it's their only way to assure their reproductive rights. It tends to be a real motivator. Yeah. So, and that's a clear issue we disagree on. We don't have as, you know, and certainly I would not be in favor of, you know, when they sunset next year, the Trump tax cuts are not something that mm-hmm. I would extend, certainly mm-hmm. not over $400,000. That's clearly an issue we yeah. disagree. Kind of, there's some issues like that. We have, you know, sort of binary disagreements. On the other hand, foreign policy, there isn't as much to separate us on some of those issues. Yeah. And I always tell audiences the same thing. If you're looking for someone to hate on Ann Wagner, you came to the wrong person.
Yeah, good for you.
She's somebody I disagree. And I get very good response from Democrats and Republicans on that. And I really mean it. She's somebody I disagree with. Yeah. And I mean, we both went to Mizzou. I'm older than she is. But we're 10 years apart. We're both from St. Louis County. Both went for Mizzou. I'm sure we root for the same sports mm-hmm. teams. But we do have different worldviews when it comes to the government, and I certainly feel we do have a different philosophy, and maybe it's my media background. I believe you err in the direction to the degree of accessibility. There's no question that I will be a more accessible yeah. and I think more responsive congressman than she has
well,
been.
Well, it is every election is unique, but this one really fits the literal description of that term. 4 years ago, you tell me Ray Hartman's running against Ann Wagner. I say, I love my friend Ray. I'll be there to console him. This year, all bets are off. I mean, yeah. people will be showing up at the polls who didn't show up at the polls maybe ever before. Kamala Harris has, what an arc this person has had. I mean, back when I was on 97.1, it was a little different deal, but even here at KMOX, the one thing we could all agree on was that Kamala wasn't great. You know, my Democrat friends were like, oh, I know her personally, I love her, I'm just not sure she's the best candidate for this or that. People on the right hated her because she was so far left. This hero's arc that she is living currently with the DNC is really amazing, and I think allows all possibilities in this election. You guys agree?
I mean, she's definitely got a bigger positive bump from you know being the vice president to the Democrat holding the mantle, and so it'd be interesting to see for the next 76 days, can she build on that and grow on that, or is it going to fade? I mean, she's had a very interesting political career. It'll be interesting to see if that has built her up to be able to withstand the pressures that she's yeah. going to see in the next, you know, 10 weeks.
I think she's going, I feel very confident right now that she's going to be successful. You know, and if you look through our history, candidates who are positive and optimistic and forward-looking generally do well at the presidential level. And it's not a partisan statement. Ronald Reagan, for example, would be a classic example of that, as would certainly Barack Obama, John mm-hmm. Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Candidates who kind of exude that kind of aura, I feel she has it, and I think it's real. And I do think her opponent, the former president, is pretty much the opposite of that. Yeah. And I mean, I'll just leave it at that. But I think that's a real, I think that positivity wins. And I feel like I'm going to bring that as well to this race at the congressional level, because I'm all about empowering people, representing them, mm-hmm. getting the community involved, and certainly being accessible and available. You know, I was teasing you, but I'll be on the show anytime you ask me. I don't ask you what it's about. Come on and you yeah. can call me. You know that. And that goes true, you know, across the hall, Mark Cox, can I say that? Sure. He's same offer to him. I think that if you're going to put yourself in the public eye, it is your responsibility to be available, and not just when it suits you, to the media.
Isn't it interesting? You were talking about Reagan and Obama, and I now have two kids voting age. One is about to be 30, one's about to be 20, and They would remember Obama, but he wasn't anything to them. They would not remember Reagan. They would not remember John McCain, the happy warrior. Mm-hmm. What's going on right now with Kamala Harris is new to them. Mm-hmm. This is like the probably the boomers with JFK. They had not seen that before. You know, they were used to these boring old fat white guys, and all of a sudden you had JFK and Camelot, and it changed everything. And this is their Camelot.
And I do think it's real in the case of Kamala Harris. And let's not leave out Tim Walz. I think they exude something it's genuine. I don't think it's affected. And obviously we have partisan differences, but we've got one side talking about the 2020 election, okay? And we got one that really has a vision of the future. And I happen to share that vision because I do think we can do things to, and they don't all have to be like extreme. But I do think we could do things to make our health, for example, expand healthcare for more people, make the planet safer. I mean, I think you can do that without being an extremist. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how that works. This is my first race, so I don't know what the ads are going to look like. But I don't have to like really try to reinvent anything. I mean, I've always been about saying what I feel is the truth on Donnybrook.
Yeah, you.
And I'm not somebody that's going to start spinning stuff.
Yeah. No, you have as much of a record as any politician out there. I mean, you've been on the record now for decades.
Right. And I remember when I first got elected, Sarah Fenske interviewed me for the Riverfront Times, my baby, which is, had a great run, 47 years. But she asked me, and I said, she said, "Are you worried about them digging up your old editorials?" And I said, "It's about time someone read them." So you just have to go with the flow.
And, yeah. We're here with Ray Hartman, who's taking on Ann Wagner, and Kurt Barr, who runs the elections out in St. Charles County. Quick break, right back, DGS.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Ray Hartman's here. He is campaigning against Ann Wagner. Kurt Barr is here. He's the head of elections out in St. Charles County. I love that story. Can you tell that story? That's a great, the juxtaposition of where the kids are today and what a liberal is or a progressive is and what you were fighting at Mizzou back in the 70s.
You talk about the gay liberation?
Yeah,
gay liberation was an issue back then. We were really involved in... What gay liberation was an organization that wanted to just meet on campus. That's it. Just have meetings to talk about the subject. And the university denied it. It got fought all the way to the Supreme Court. And the university's argument and the state of Missouri's was that being, as they put it, homosexuality was a mental illness and that it would be spread to people, somehow. And it's amazing to think that was it. It wasn't 1870s. It was 1970s. And now, of course, the conversation in the LGBTQ arena is very different than it was then. It's just so different.
One generation.
It's amazing how much things have changed.
So it's been too long since we've had you on the show when I was here. Let's talk about the city. You've been covering the city for decades and decades and decades. You've seen it at its best. You've seen it at its worst. Just orate. Anything you want to talk about?
I just think we need to come together as a region. I really do. All of us. We're all people in St. Louis, and I don't have any plan. You know, this doesn't have much to do with my race, but I've felt forever that we are better if we all think of ourselves in the entire region. And I, for example, I campaign in Franklin County and in Warren County. I'll be there next week. And that's still part of St. Louis.
Yeah, you bet.
I mean, not officially, but people, it seems like the things that bring us together are like the Cardinals, the Blues when they win, whatever. And really our cultural institutions too. I just think we have we need to have if I was going to change anything about our region is get over our civic inferiority complex, realize we have a great community. It's one of the best places, if not the best place, to raise a family. And we need to think as one. Yeah. That's all.
Get our swagger back. We used to have swagger.
Yeah.
When we were both young men, we St. Louis did have a swagger. I've been calling it an inferiority complex for 24 years, whether it's Chicago or Memphis or KC or now Nashville. But we're always like, oh, pardon me. Sorry if we got in your way. We need to be a little more, have a little more chutzpah, I think. So your buddy Steve Ellman has famously said on the show that so goes the city, so goes the whole region.
And he preaches that in St. Charles County. I mean, he tries to make sure that we know, you know, like St. Charles County is great, but we are a part of the metro region. And if the city falls, then, you know, it's going to hurt St. Charles County and the surrounding areas.
On the national stage, I'm seeing a lot of Republicans of your ilk, Republicans, maybe not the most MAGA people. People on Fox News, though, Brit Hume and Karl Rove, people like that, really complaining that Donald Trump is not staying on message. My new theory is that he simply can't. And it's not a he's stupid thing. It's not. He's not a stupid person. But he doesn't understand the issues. This is my humble opinion. He doesn't understand the issues. And when you can't discuss the issues intelligently, you go back to your default. I do it. Ray does it. Donald Trump does it. And his default is name calling and being mean. And I could solve the Middle East crisis in 24 hours. I think what we're seeing is not the devolving of a person or the undoing of a person. I think we're just seeing the outing of a person who doesn't really understand the issues.
I mean, Donald Trump, as an individual, his entire career is a brand. Donald Trump has, Trump Towers, Trump books, the fact that anytime a movie was in Trump Towers, he had to have a cameo. Donald Trump is a brand. That's one of the things that his most ardent supporters love about him. They have bought into the brand of Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, you know, in the last two times that he's run, he has run on his brand. But what you're saying is his brand isn't deep enough to handle questions and all the issues.
Yeah, we've been to the party. We've seen it. And everyone, look, if I was doing what I did in 2014, I wouldn't have a show. You have to evolve. And I just think that the gentleman's had a really hard time evolving, right? Your thoughts?
Well, the people around him are the folks who created something called Project 2025. And it has not been well received. And Donald Trump is, you know, who's never been, I think in the last 2020, the first year, Republicans didn't even have a platform. I mean, that's not how he rolls. And he's trying to distance himself. But those are the people who would govern were he elected. And they have, in my mind, a pretty dark vision for the federal government and to kind of to bring it back to Missouri, one of the things Kit did so well was get rid of the patronage system. And this is almost the opposite of that, where they're going to get rid of all the qualified, what they call bureaucrats and replace them with loyalists. And so that's scary to me. I think he has some pretty malign narcissism. And I don't want to try to play doctor, but any of us that saw day in, day out during the pandemic, those awful press conferences, those awful news conferences, I'll never, there were two things I always came away from. One, he never, ever expressed sympathy or compassion to the people who are dying. And two, he focused on how he was doing, how we are doing, how the administration's numbered. And I think people need to go, I also think people need to go back and watch some of those to see. And you know, I'm not saying he didn't do anything right. I mean, certainly he did a good job getting the vaccines process fast. But in terms of the basic, and I think we saw who he was then. And I think I guess you got to be somewhat narcissist to run for office. But I think he's kind of retired to trophy and in a way that is, I think, a little frightening.
Yeah.
And then the use, when we have somebody up there talking about immigrants poisoning the blood of Americans and fine people on both sides of a Nazi rally, you know, I think we are in some pretty, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because, frankly, it's not what I push when I'm talking about my campaign. But I think we are in some difficult waters right now.
Thank you, guys. Come on a couple more times before the election, Ray. And Kurt, we'll see you as always. Thank you, boys. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.